Thanks so much for joining us today. Our hope and prayer is that God will use this message powerfully in your life and that it'll bring you closer to Him. If you'd like more information about our church, or if you'd like to hear more messages, you can visit vibechurch.com or download our app. Now get ready to receive a word from the Lord.
Amen. 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 Whoo. Well, hey, good morning, everyone. Whether you're watching online, you're here in the parking lot, welcome to Vibe Church. I'm so glad that you're here and you're with us and just worshiping the Lord together. Sarah and Tori and Kate did a great job just leading us into God's presence. So thankful for them. But just a real quick few things that are going on this morning. You noticed our service, we're just one service now, 11 o'clock, and so it'll be a little bit longer. You can also, for your kids, those of you who have kids in the cars with you, you can go onto the Facebook. You received information about that, and you can they can be a part of their own kids' service. Also online, you can do that if you go onto Vive Kids on Facebook, and they can be a part of their own service there and enjoy that. But we're so glad that you're here. When you came in, you received a bag, and in that bag there was a Connect card, there was a giving envelope, maybe a few other things. And so if you don't mind taking a moment and filling out that card and letting us know that you're with us this morning, we would greatly appreciate it. It's kind of like, you know, it's really hard at this point to know who's being a, you know, who's with us, who's been attending services, and we want to stay connected with you. We want to help you in any way we can. We want to send you encouragement, all of that. So if you just let us know, and as you leave this morning, you can you drop that in the basket. You can also, if you're watching online, just comment, you know, hey, I'm here, I'm watching, and we would love to be able to follow up with you. Also in that bag is a giving envelope. Can we take a moment and can we worship the Lord with our giving? Can we do that? Because God has entrusted so much to us. He's our provider, isn't He? He's the one that provides for us. Sometimes we think, oh no, you know, I did the work. No, God provided that. He provides the talent and the giftings that you and I have. He has been our provider all along, and let's always be careful to worship Him and to keep Him first. Can you do me a favor? If you're watching online, you can just bow your heads. If you're here in your car, you could grab that envelope and just hold it as a sign of worship to the Lord. And maybe you've already prepared your giving. You can drop that off on the way out. On the screen, you'll see a link. You can go online and give. Let's worship the Lord with our giving this morning. Father, we just thank You for being our provider, for resourcing us, for taking care of us. God, it's not the government's responsibility to take care of us. We're Your children, and You do it without any hiccups. Lord, we thank You. You've been so good to us. We want to honor You. We want to worship You. We want to put You first and keep You first in our lives. And so we worship You today with our giving. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, this morning, I have a friend. Those of you who've been at Vive for a while, you know Mike and Debbie D'Arienzo. But Mike is a chaplain for the Army. And so my friend, your friend, and part of our preaching team, Mike D'Arienzo, is going to bring the word this morning. So,
thank you. Good morning. Today, we're going to be in Philippians, and we're going to be talking about navigating self-isolation with a Christian mindset and a Christian attitude. But before we do that, I want to go ahead and pray. So I welcome you to join me. Father, thank You for this morning. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for the whole Bible. This morning, especially Paul's letter to the Philippians. Lord, I pray that You would be pleased with what we do today. And we also pray a special blessing over our heroes on the front line of this COVID virus, fighting it, our medical, our healthcare workers, Lord, that You would protect them physically, that You would encourage them and help them, Lord, to integrate the tough experiences they're having right now. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's exciting to me, whether you're in front of me here in the cars or wherever you might be in the world, and whenever you might be, whenever you see this, it's encouraging and exciting to preach in this time period. I could think of a number of times in my life, perhaps in different countries of the world, in different settings, specific dates or special events I got to preach during, and it really is an honor to be with you. And I'm excited to share a few tools that have given me peace during difficult times in my life that continue to help me navigate periods like this. The self-isolation hasn't been easy. You know, Deb and I have four kids. It's busy for us. For each of us, it's different, whatever we're dealing with, the financial impact, just the stir crazy, the boredom, the other health issues we had before. Some of this is pretty tough to navigate. So what I want to do today is invite you into the book of Philippians, and you can begin to turn there and just hit some highlights and encourage you that if you're not reading your Bible right now, if you don't have a reading plan, again, here in front of me or wherever you might be, that you might consider reading Philippians. It's four short chapters, whether you do that in 4 days or you just break it up. I challenge you by next Sunday, have the whole letter read and enjoy it. And we're going to hit some highlights right now. You know, Paul in another letter in 1 Corinthians 10:31 said that whether we eat or drink, no matter what we do, we're supposed to do all to the glory of God. And as I think about that, I think sometimes we need a little help with that. In order to do all to the glory of God, we need a little information. So again, it's important for us to read our Bibles. I want to encourage you to flip open to Philippians with me, and I'll be in Philippians out of the New International Version. You're welcome to read whatever version you have. I want to further encourage you that it doesn't matter if your Bible's electronic or otherwise, but I want to encourage you, have a Bible, maybe even a paper one during this time of self-isolation. I think most of us have a few more minutes to spare, and I want to encourage you to be in the scriptures. Now, as we get into Philippians, it's important to note, to kind of set the background here, that Paul was writing from prison. Now, for some of us, the self-isolation has been a prison of sorts, or feels that way. Not exactly the same, don't want to overdo it, but I think that adds some relevance and just some interest that the guy that wrote this almost 2,000 years ago was writing from prison, that he was isolated from others. He was socially isolated. And as he thought through his life and ministry, he extends some ideas. And he's going to give us some really important information. One, he's going to teach us how to deal with our sufferings, how to maintain a Christian mindset, a Christian attitude, despite sufferings. He's going to teach us to rejoice no matter what our circumstances are. The word rejoice is used over and over again. Paul's in a great mood when he writes Philippians, and sometimes he can be pretty forceful. He can be pretty difficult sometimes, but he's in a great mood in this letter, and he's telling people, I want you to rejoice, and I want you to rejoice regardless of the circumstances. The last thing that I would point out that he does in this letter is he gives the readers of the time, the church at Philippi, tools to deal with their situation, tools to deal with the persecution that they were facing. And those same tools that he gave them in that time and place are tools that we could use to live our lives. They're tools that we can teach one another how to navigate this period of self-isolation, but they're also tools that we can share with the world that doesn't yet know Christ. So for instance, we'll talk about dealing with anxiety later on in this letter. We know a lot of friends that are dealing with anxiety. It's very common. Most of us have gone through periods of anxiety or are going through it, and we know people who are suffering with anxiety. So perhaps we can offer what Paul offers, that hey, as you pray to God, you're going to get a sense of peace that makes no sense, that goes beyond our understanding. And we can offer these tools to other people on how to cope with the current situation. And who knows but that they might start a relationship with Jesus Christ in the terms of that people may be brought to life because they're dealing with anxiety and they're not necessarily asking questions about God, but they're asking help, how do I deal with anxiety? So whether it's us with anxiety, with tension, Paul's gonna do a few things here to help us out. So I wanna invite you to turn with me now. And really, if I could sum up in one verse what we're going to do this morning, again, it's navigating self-isolation with a Christian mindset and a Christian attitude. I would say it's in verse 127. Paul writes this, "Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ." Whatever happens, we're to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. So let's jump in here and hit a few highlights of Philippians and see how Paul told those folks many years ago in that colony at Philippi how to do so. He says in verse 12 here, "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me actually served to advance the gospel." And then he talks about being in chains. As a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everybody else, I'm in chains for Christ. And he says, what has happened to me has actually turned out for good. And I want to assure you, like Romans 8:28 says, God can work all things to the good of those who love him. I could reflect back again on difficult times in my life where I've used these very teachings and it has been used to my good to the point where I feel generally encouraged right now, despite what's going on. There's a lot about this situation that is not good, but I feel generally encouraged. I feel good to be with you preaching. I feel good to be with my family. And I feel confident that however this turns out, that God is going to use it to our good. And I'd extend to you that you could do the same. Specifically in this time, I think people are more willing to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul goes on in verse 18 of chapter 1 in answering that about people who preach Christ out of not good motives. He said, "What does it matter why we preach Christ?" He says, "The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice." So the important thing is Christ is preached. And I humbly propose to you that this situation, the fact that we've lost 4,000 Americans thereabout, forgive me if I got the number wrong, many more people across the world, people are sick. This gives us an opportunity to preach Christ. Folks are in financial binds. This gives us an opportunity to preach Christ. I'm not glad it happened. I don't think any of us should be happy it happened. But since it is happening and we can't control it, we can preach Christ through this. And that was a key for Paul remaining content, that no matter what happened to him, if you want to read all the stuff that happened to Paul, read 2 Corinthians 11. He really went through it. He suffered some tremendous things. But he said, what matters is that Christ is preached. So if because of COVID, we're able to preach Christ more, then let's go ahead and do it. Let's share the message, the peace-giving message of Jesus Christ, that through his death and resurrection, we can have peace with each other, but more importantly, with a perfect God. And let's be about sharing that message as we navigate the period of self-isolation. We may need to be creative, like Randy and the church are doing here, but we need to be sharing the message of Jesus Christ, a message of reconciliation with our God and with one another. Moving on into chapter 2, Paul continues to talk about what's important. So he says it's important that Christ is preached, and then he says it's important how we live as Christians. In fact, in verses 14 through 16 of chapter 2, he says this. This is a tough one for all of us. He says, "Do everything without grumbling or arguing." In some translations, it says complaining. It's kind of convicting, isn't it? It's tough for all of us. "Do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life." You know, I think about sometimes when you look up at the sky, whether you go for a run or walk, when there's less clouds. I heard around the world in some places there's less pollution because people aren't driving as much. And if it's dark and it's not cloudy and there's not too many lights, the lights shine brighter, don't they? The stars shine brighter in the sky. In a very similar way, because things are tough right now, if we don't grumble, if we don't complain, if we have a generally happy attitude and not a false mask, but genuine Christ-given contentment, people are gonna sense that. And they're gonna say, hey, maybe they might even phrase it in a strange way. Hey, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you upset? Why aren't you grumbling? Why? This is so hard. Hey, didn't you lose your job? Aren't you in a fix right now? And you could say, Jesus has taught me to do all things without grumbling or complaining. I'm glad to spend more time with my family. I'm glad to count my blessings, and you can recount those. And if we do this thing without, if we navigate this without grumbling and without complaining, we're going to stand out. And people are going to say, what do you have that I don't have? The answer is the Holy Spirit. The answer is Jesus Christ. And he'll give us a chance to say that. The other piece that Paul does in this chapter too that I want to point out is he says, not only do I want you to not grumble and complain, I'm going to back up a few verses. He says, I want you to be about service, just like our master Jesus. He says in verse 5, I want you to have the mindset of Christ. Think like Jesus, who though he was God in the flesh, took on the nature of a servant. And he says in verses 2 and 3 here of chapter 2, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one spirit and mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. I say that again. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Somebody out there's got all the toilet paper. I don't know who it is, but somebody does. We need to make sure that we're not being selfish. We need to look out to the needs of others. He goes on to say, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but also the interests of others. I continue to hear beautiful stories of people going out and doing all kinds of things for each other, making sure that we're shopping for the vulnerable, making sure people have what they need. In fact, somebody in this church delivered some toilet paper to my family of six because we couldn't find any, because somebody out there is buying it all up. But we need to look to the needs of others. Thank you. You know who you are who did that for us. And we need to do things for other people. We need to serve them, help them with their landscape and help them with their kids, help through the logistical problems. And Vive has been a church that has done that. Vive has done things with school backpacks, with all kinds of pieces in the community. And we need to be creative on how we do that. But I'm sure as our heart is to look to the needs of others, not just be selfish right now, that we'll be able once again to stand out, to shine like stars on a dark night, not for our own glory, but for the glory of Jesus Christ. Moving on into chapter 3, Paul says this. He says, our ultimate chapter 3, verse 20, Paul says, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think as we think about the things we have lost, if you back up to verse 8 in chapter 3, Paul says, what's more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage or rubbish that I might gain Christ. Paul lost a lot to preach the gospel. And many of us are losing things right now. We've lost human beings to COVID. Other folks have died of other things. We're losing lives, losing health, losing jobs, losing economic security, losing peace of mind. There might be a lot of loss here, but I think that as we remember, our ultimate citizenship is in heaven, that Jesus Christ came to save us from sin, not from discomfort. I think it'll really help us to display that attitude, that mindset of Jesus Christ during self-isolation, help us have a supernatural sense of peace as we think about, I've got it good here, and even though it's challenging right now, it'll return and it'll be good enough. But ultimately, my citizenship is in heaven. And that's what Paul's reminding the people of Philippi. Your colony is important. It's a nice place. There's nice roads. It's part of Rome. It's got special status. But this is not your final place. This is not your ultimate citizenship. Our ultimate citizenship is in heaven. And as we remember that, I think anything we lose during this period, anyone we lose, it'll be easier to integrate. We won't be so bitter about the things we've lost. And in fact, we'll display a Christ-like attitude. In Colossians, another one of Paul's prison letters, he says, for us to set our mind on things above. As we continue to think about the things of Jesus Christ, read his word, I think it'll give us a presence that can be felt even online and social media, that our families, our friends will be drawn to. And once again, they'll ask us, hey, what's going on with you? How are you handling this? We'll say it's the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. It's our Lord Jesus Christ that saved us from sin and helps us not from our discomfort, but helps us in our discomfort and empowers us to deal with it in a dignified way, in a winsome way that draws others to Jesus Christ. Moving on into chapter 4, I want to back up here. Yeah, we'll move on into chapter 4 for time's sake. I'll move into verses 6 and 7. I think this is a big one. I had mentioned in the opening about anxiety. I think every one of us at some point has dealt with some kind of anxiety. And some of us do very interesting things to cope with anxiety. But Paul's going to give the Philippians a surefire way to deal with anxiety. Paul says here in verses 6 and 7, do not be anxious about anything. Easier said or written than done, right? Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It transcends or goes deeper than all understanding. You know, I think about the things that might give us anxiety. It might be this COVID-19. It might be relationships in your life. It might be your marriage, your love relationship with your partner. Is he or she going to be there for me? Are they going to stay with me? Are they faithful to me? We might have concerns over our children's physical, spiritual, emotional health. It might be our own. We might be anxious about our financial situation. I have been anxious before for my soldiers, for my own children. There's a number of things we can be anxious about. Our own health condition apart from COVID. But Paul says, I don't want you to be anxious about these things. I want you to bring these things to God. And I think part of the power of what Paul is suggesting is that in these times, times of crisis, times of conflict, deployment, health issues have been times of intimacy, spiritual intimacy for me with God. And I think part of it is that even me as an imperfect, I remember that I'm dependent on God. But here's the deal. When this passes, will you and I remember that we're dependent on God? Because we're no less dependent on God when it's easy. I think it's just easier for us to realize how dependent on God we are when something like this happens. I'm not a doctor. I don't know how to deal with this. I have some idea how to try to do the distancing and avoid it, but I can't fix it if we get it, if I get it or you get it. And so we're dependent on God. God, please have mercy on my family, friends. Please have mercy on the caregivers. Please have mercy on their sense of well-being as they see terrible things. And I realize I can't do anything about it. If I could, I would. I like to try to fix things. I'm a man, I'm a soldier, but I can't fix this. And you can't either. So we could bring this to God and bring those things that we just can't fix or figure out to him. We bring everything to him and say, God, will you help me with this? Will you instruct? And then we'll feel a sense of peace. We'll feel a sense of direction. And he'll start saying, as we say, I don't know what to do. I feel. And he says, I want you to go help your neighbor right over there. How's that going to help me feel better? Psalm 34:8 says, taste and see the Lord's good. Follow those directions. Follow those leadings of the Holy Spirit. And watch what happens as you have a sense of peace. Sometimes, even though it's not fixed and it's not okay, sometimes in the midst of that, we have a sense of peace. Moving on, Paul says something very powerful that I hope you'll take away. In verses 4:11-13, he says this. He's commending them for giving. Randy talked earlier about giving. He's talking to the colony, the church of the colony, saying, I really appreciate you giving, but I'm not saying this because I'm in need. I'm not thanking you for giving because I'm in need, because I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. He says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, living in plenty or want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. And I'll back up there and say, I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, living in plenty or want, COVID or no COVID, cure or no cure. I've learned the secret of being content. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. For my fellow football fans, you remember Tim Tebow used to wear Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. It's not just about winning national titles, ripping phone books in half, bench pressing or squatting 500 or 5,000 pounds. Paul is saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, namely to be content no matter the circumstances. Again, if you don't know what kind of credibility Paul has, read 2 Corinthians 11 and see the things the man had been through. And remember, he's writing from prison and he's saying, I've learned to be content. He didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know if he was going to get killed. He didn't know if he was going to get released. People were praying and crying over. Eventually in Acts, when he goes to Jerusalem, they say, please, Paul, don't go. Bad things are going to happen. Paul always did what he was supposed to do, and he was content regardless of the risk, regardless of the stress. And we can have this same sense of contentment. I could think of an example in my life. There's a man that's been very important to me. His name is Terry Lawrence. He's been a dear mentor of mine. And before I was a teenager, maybe 17 or 18, I was on the football team with his son, Ryan, who died an untimely death in his teenage years. And I remember Mr. Lawrence having the football team over at his house for sandwiches. And I remember him comforting me. And I remember thinking, how is this man that just lost his son feeding and comforting us? What does this man have that I don't have? I know if it was my family, people would be yelling, using colorful language, carrying on. But this man is at peace and this man is comforting us, but it's his son. This guy's our friend. We've only known him a few years, our teammate. This is his son. How is he content in this circumstance? What does he have? And I remember asking him the question, and I don't want to accidentally misrepresent. I don't remember how I asked him, but it went something like, Mr. Lawrence, how are you handling this so well? And he looked at me and he said, Michael, it's my Lord Jesus Christ. And he can give us that sense of contentment right now. And it will help us shine and stand out. Not for you and I. Who are we? Our lives will be short and will pass and will be forgotten, but people will remember Jesus Christ. It's not for vainglory. It's not for self-importance. Christ can give us that firm foundation, that footing, that we can be content whatever the circumstances, and that's attractive. Paul says we're to be ambassadors of Christ. He's making his appeal through us. We're his living letters. And this is how we can be winsome. This is how we can draw people to Jesus Christ, by displaying this contentment that cannot be found in a bottle. It cannot be found in a booze bottle, a pill bottle. It can't be found in something that could be smoked. It can't be found in something that can be bought. It can't be found in another human being outside of Jesus Christ. No love relationship, nothing we put on that will soothe us except the gospel and the person of Jesus Christ. As we have him, we can display this deep sense of contentment. So for time's sake, I see my time is up today. I could spend all day in Philippians, and I've loved being with you, even though this is very different, again, where and when you might be, or for those of you in front of me or to my side here. But I'll just recap that in order to navigate self-isolation with a mindset and an attitude of Jesus Christ, one, we got to read our Bibles. And I encourage you, whatever format, whatever translation, paper or digital, please be reading your Bible. We got a little more time. Read your scriptures. And then in Philippians, Paul's prison letter, his letter from isolation, he tells us things like, to have the proper attitude, you have to remember, let's read that verse here again, Philippians 1:27, to sum it up. He says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whatever happens, COVID or not, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And some highlights to do that, remember, there's purpose in suffering. And suffering or not, what matters is preaching the gospel. Who cares why people are preaching? Folks need to hear about Jesus Christ. Let's have it on the tip of our tongue. Let's say it in word, but also in deed. And speaking of deeds, we need not be grumblers or complainers. We need to be filled with thanksgiving, with gratitude, glorifying God, not grumbling, not complaining, shining, looking to the needs of others, not being selfish, buying up all the toilet paper, whoever you are. We need to look to the needs of others, serve each other, having the same mindset of Jesus Christ, who in John 13 washed the disciples' feet. You don't have to worry about washing anybody's feet. We're not supposed to touch each other. But how do we serve the vulnerable? How do we serve those in need right now? Remember, our ultimate citizenship is in heaven. We're losing things right now. We're losing people. We're losing money. The economy's taking a beating. We're losing peace of mind. But our ultimate citizenship is in heaven. Jesus never came to give us perfect comfort. Don't be anxious. Be prayerful and let a peace go deep and transcend everything you think and do, and then be content no matter what the circumstances. So I really hope that we'll be reading our Bibles, and I hope that as you read Philippians this week, if you haven't read it or you don't have a reading plan, that these nuggets of wisdom, and there's many more in there. There's so much in the book of Philippians, the other prison letters, Colossians, Ephesians. There's so much in there to help us live as Christians. And I pray that each of us, members of Vive, however you're connected to Vive, folks that are just listening in, that we will display the mindset and the attitude of Jesus Christ in such a way that we'll experience inner contentment and peace, but also that we would draw others to the Lord. Not despite COVID, but maybe even because of it, and that we'll roll with it and we'll make Christ attractive and we'll take good care of each other, fulfilling the great commandment to love the Lord our God, love each other. I love each of you wherever you are. I pray that you stay healthy. I pray that you are healthy. And for those struggling right now, I pray that God would heal you, he would soothe you and make you healthy in due time. God bless you. Pray with me. Father, thank you for each one listening now, whatever time it is, where they are, or the brothers and sisters in front of me. Lord, we pray that you would give us your mindset through your Holy Spirit. We can't do this by ourselves. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would help us to have your mindset and your attitude, that we wouldn't be grumblers or complainers, that we wouldn't be filled with anxiety. And help us not to feel guilty about that, but help us to come to you. We are dependent on you, Father. Help us to be of right mind, of right spirit, not to be out of sorts, but to be a blessing to others, serving them, being at peace, praying to you, and somehow, Lord, even enjoying this time. and being content in the circumstances. Thank you for extra time together. Thank you for this technology that allows us to communicate. Bless our pastors across the country that are figuring out how to share the gospel with others. And bless all of our friends and neighbors again, especially those that are healthcare workers, medical workers. Sustain them, protect them, help them to sleep, stay hydrated, protect them from the virus, and in due time heal them from the things they're seeing. Give us peace and contentment and help us to know that we're utterly dependent on you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you. Thank you.
Thanks again for joining us today. We're hoping that this message brought you to life. If you have any prayer requests or if you'd like to connect with our church family, you can email us at info@vibechurch.com or you can fill out the contact card section in our app. We're looking forward to hearing about all the ways that God is moving in your life. And until next time, go bring somebody to life.